For Illinois Public Radio, I'm Rachel Otwell. You've probably already heard of 18-year-old Michael Brown, who was shot and killed by a police officer on Saturday in a St. Louis suburb called Ferguson. A vigil to honor his memory was held the following day, and what started as peaceful protests became a night of arson, rioting, and theft. Since then, police and the community continue to square off as tensions over the shooting of Brown, who was black and unarmed, continue to spread. We're joined now by St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman, who has been following the story. Rachel, you've been following this from the beginning. What can you tell us about Ferguson, the suburb where the shooting took place?
Ferguson is a currently majority black suburb of St. Louis. It's about two-thirds African-American. That's a change that's happened relatively recently as individuals left St. Louis City and moved a little bit farther west and north. Its police department, however, is very much white. Of the 50 or so sworn officers, only three of them are African-American.
And give us a bit of a timeline on the protests and riots and where things stand as of this morning.
The shooting happened Saturday afternoon around noon. On Sunday, there was a vigil in the apartment complex where he was shot, a candlelight vigil, and then a march. Once that march ended, when those organizers retreated back into or went back into the apartment complex to continue the candlelight vigil, that is when the first night of rioting and looting and violence broke out. Bottles and rocks were thrown at the cops. I saw at least one flare launched. I heard gunfire. That was when the Quick Trip was looted and other stores around the area were looted. The protests that took place in front of the Ferguson Police Department on Monday and elsewhere throughout the region were also peaceful. And on Monday night, the peaceful protesters were confronted by the cops. Tear gas and rubber bullets were deployed. Tuesday night, again, there were peaceful protests. The largest crowd that had come from a rally featuring the Reverend Al Sharpton at a nearby church, they turned around and left. It was a smaller crowd that continued to agitate the officers. They were also dispersed with tear gas on Tuesday night.
So who exactly has been protesting? Are these people coming in from far away, as Al Sharpton obviously would be one of those who did, or is it mostly local residents?
The protests that are taking place in the area appear to be mostly local residents, not necessarily just from Ferguson, but from some of the surrounding communities as well, which have very similar demographics to Ferguson.
And what was the message that Reverend Al Sharpton, who arrived yesterday, what message did he have to share?
Sharpton was bringing the message that this community needs justice. It needs answers. They want to know the name of the Ferguson police officer who shot and killed Michael Brown. They want a thorough investigation by the FBI. I'm not sure they entirely trust St. Louis County Police, who are conducting the investigation into the shooting for Ferguson. But everybody has been urging calm. They've said that no justice, no peace doesn't necessarily mean that we'll be quiet, but it means that we will be nonviolent. The family of Michael Brown has also been pleading for calm, saying that the violence and the looting does not honor his memory.
And what are you hearing about who Brown was as a person?
What we've heard is him described as a gentle giant. He was an aspiring rap musician, but he also knew that that might not be a practical career. He had graduated from a local high school and was scheduled to start school at a technical college in heating and air conditioning this week.
And what can you tell us about the community meetings that were held at two churches last night?
There were several prominent figures, state and locally, at these two community meetings. The first was organized by a local pastor who told me that she wanted a place to give youth a voice. She said that rioting is the voice of the voiceless, or the speech of the voiceless. And this was a chance for youth to come and share their stories. The second rally was at Al Sharpton, as I understand it. It was a little bit more fiery, a little bit more energetic, a little bit more about, we're here to protest, we're here to shine light on the situation. Al Sharpton used his favorite line that when you shed light onto the situation, the cockroaches go running.
And is it 100% certain that Michael Brown was unarmed at the time of shooting that resulted in his death?
Yes. The police have said that they did not recover a gun on Michael Brown, that there was a struggle for the officer's weapon. That's their version of the story. The eyewitness version of the story says that Michael Brown was leaving, going away from the cops with his arm raised when he was shot. But there's never been any dispute from the St. Louis County Police or the Ferguson Police that Brown was unarmed when he was shot.
And what's the general message being sent by local police to residents of Ferguson at this time?
They're really not saying much, I guess, other than just being present in quite a bit of force and in quite a show of force on those nightly protests. They say they will not be releasing the name of the officer until he is charged with a crime. mostly for his safety, but also that's because it's a St. Louis County Department policy to do that for any charged crime. Bottom line is they really haven't been saying much. And I think that's part of the frustration, is that people feel like they can't get answers to anything on this situation. Although the police chief and the mayor were both present at one of the forums last night and did take questions.
And it seems there's been some worry over one activist group in particular called Anonymous that have threatened to make police officers' information public. Can you tell us anything about that?
I know from watching their tweets that they will not be making the information of the chief of the St. Louis County Department public. I know they are actively working to find the name of the Ferguson officer. A name has been released by various groups. The police are saying that was not the shooter involved. Again, nobody necessarily believes that that's the case.
Any idea at this point how many businesses have been affected by the looting and arson that resulted from the riots that broke out after the shooting?
There was just one business that was torched. It was a Quick Trip near the site of the initial police shooting. As I understand it, about a dozen other businesses were affected.
And any residences?
Not that I have heard.
And how is all of this being perceived in other parts of St. Louis?
The sense I'm getting is that people within the African-American community are not necessarily surprised that the police would have treated an unarmed black individual like that. Most people don't believe in the looting. Nobody I've heard in the protest or activist community has said that the looting was acceptable. They say it takes away from the message, but nobody is surprised this situation erupted. As one protester told me yesterday, it's not necessarily that it's this particular incident. It's this incident, the shooting of Michael Brown, in this time, in the context of the fatal shooting of a man in Los Angeles and the death of a man in New York by a police chokehold.
And last night, there were a couple more shootings in the Ferguson area. Is that correct?
That is correct. There was one officer-involved shooting where a St. Louis County police officer shot and seriously wounded a man who the police say pointed a gun at the officer. He's on administrative leave as per department policy. There was a second shooting of a woman. Ferguson police are investigating that. I don't have any additional information on that, and it's not immediately clear if it's at all connected to the protests. They all did take place in this general area where the protests and the shooting have occurred.
And the FBI has opened a civil rights investigation into this shooting.
Yes, the FBI is doing its own parallel investigation of this particular shooting at the request of Eric Holder and the Civil Rights Division. A couple of African-American congressmen, both from Missouri and other states, want that investigation to be broader. They want it to look not just at the shooting, but at systemic racial profiling practices in Ferguson.
Rachel, do you get the sense that the activity, the protests that continue are going to be fizzling out anytime soon? Are efforts getting more strong? Just a sense of the environment right now.
I'm starting to get the sense that they may be getting it under control, that leaders may be emerging within some of the youth protests. It's something that I've noticed yesterday when sort of a group of older, more established activists moved out after a march around the St. Louis County government complex. It was about 60 or so younger protesters, I'd say anywhere probably between the ages of 20 to 30, who stuck around at the St. Louis County jail. Again, they were following police commands to stay on the sidewalk, but they were a very visible, very vocal presence there. And video posted last night to Twitter showed young protesters getting people they felt agitated crowds out of there, saying, go home, stay away. So I don't know if they'll be fizzling out, but at least my perception may be that they're starting to listen and to essentially lead their own protest.
Rachel, anything else we should know at this time about the situation in Ferguson?
There's a no-fly zone in effect over Ferguson, apparently because a police chopper took fire over the weekend. And that's just fueling the suspicion that the cops don't really want to be transparent about it because it affects news helicopters.
I'm Rachel Otwell. We've been talking to St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Lippman, who's been closely following the situation in Ferguson, Missouri, where a young, unarmed black man was shot and killed by a police officer. It's resulted in riots and ongoing protests. Rachel, thank you so much for your coverage and for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, Rachel.